So today, Good Shepherd Sunday, we are invited to think about how Jesus is the shepherd and we are the sheep. When I was a kid in Sunday school, this was the day when our Sunday school teachers would bring in paper plates and cotton balls and glue, and we would make little sheep faces with our names on them to remind ourselves that we were, in fact, Jesus' sheep. Psalm 23, which we read together just a few minutes ago, helps us dwell in that metaphor of sheep and shepherd. Green pastures, still waters, a rod and a staff to keep you safe and on the right path. All of these are really great ovine, sheepy, pastoral images. As the song would go, he is the shepherd and we are the sheep, and his banner over us is love. But metaphors, of course, break down. And many years ago, during a children's sermon, not unlike the one I just had where I had a stuffed sheep, one little girl wasn't buying it. "I am not a sheep," she said. "I'm a person," which is true. And even Psalm 23 knows it. There's a moment in this famous psalm where even the metaphor of sheep and shepherd dissolves. It's the line, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Sheep don't eat at tables. And while they have predators, I'm not really sure it's right to say that they have enemies. But we do, because we're people and not sheep. And so thinking about what it means to be shepherded, to live with enemies, to be with enemies, understanding how God wants us to deal with our enemies, trusting in God through that experience, it's a big part of Christian faith, especially Christian faith as we remember and celebrate in these 50 days Easter, resurrection. For it's in these days especially that we remember that while Jesus was treated as our enemy, although he was crucified, in dying and rising he overcame for us our real enemies, the powers of sin and evil and death. And it is in this way that he is our shepherd. So what does it mean to eat at a table in the presence of your enemies? The confidence of Psalm 23 is that God is caring for us in every instant. That may seem obvious, but think about how hard it is to keep in mind all of the time. God's love and care are not only present, but they're even abundant, even when we have to deal with people who oppose us or hate us or disagree with us. The image of the table with the overflowing cup, the head anointed with oil, these are really big images of wealth and safety and satiety and being full. What God's grace is like. "You make me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies," is the way the Message Bible puts it. What the psalm wants us to see, but the kind of thing that the psalm invites us, kind of faith the psalm invites us to live in, is that there is no way that even that opposition from other human beings can eclipse God's love and care for us. God's love is always bigger. Now, that doesn't mean we have to admit that our enemies are right or that we can't establish good boundaries between us and them or that we have to agree on anything. What it means is that to be shepherded by God is to have a source and love and care that shapes our lives in real ways. Goodness and mercy, the psalm says, follow us. Actually, the word there is more like pursue, chase us down. Those who put their trust in God have goodness and mercy pursuing them all the days of their life, and it's from these that we operate, and from there that we fulfill the command of the Good Shepherd to love even our enemies. But since we're people and not sheep, And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's just very easy to forget about this six-course dinner that God's preparing, especially when someone has something mean or negative to say. I don't know about you, but I don't always find goodness and mercy pursuing me when my most cherished beliefs come under attack. The reality of being human is that anger is normal and righteous in many circumstances, but anger shaped by mercy and goodness is a much harder call. There are a lot of ways to respond to an enemy. You can call names, trash talk them in the group chat, embarrass them, cancel them, call names, refuse to listen, cut them off, one up them, and at worst, you can demonize them or dehumanize them or describe them as evil. That one is the scariest of all. Just recently, I heard a news story about how in the years leading up to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, propaganda in Russia talked about that particular ethnic group and that nation as not being real. It dehumanized them in Nazi terms. And when you talk about your enemies in ways as if they aren't human, that makes violence against them easier to pursue, which makes me even more conscious of the ways in our own political culture, and we've had some pretty good reminders of that this week, we can demonize and dehumanize our opponents. Words are not just words. Words can lead to terrible violence. That's the reality of sin in our human lives. Faced with someone or something we do not like, we see only what appalls us, and we forget the presence of God, the six-course dinner, the table, and the abundance of grace and mercy that pursue us. Jesus, as far as I know, is the only one who never forgot God's grace and mercy. Goodness and mercy pursued him all the days of his life. On the night before he died, Jesus set a table before his disciples. Outside the house were those who wanted to arrest him. Inside the house, around the table, were those who would betray him, deny him, or flee. But in the presence of his own enemies, in the night in which he was betrayed, he became not only a good shepherd, but a sacrificial lamb, the victim of our enmity. His way of shepherding was not what we wanted in this place, and so we pushed him out of the world and up onto a cross. But even there, this is the mystery of grace, even there, God's grace and goodness and abundance and care prevail. God does not return evil for evil. God raised him up and so made his cross into a sign of healing between God and us. Now the meal that he shared with his disciples is given back to us as a communion. This bread, this cup, his body, his blood, he gives us his living presence and turns us from enemies into friends. This meal may not appear to be a six-course dinner, but it is rich and abundant in grace for you. Nourished and fed here by Christ's own presence, we are sent forth into the world with goodness and mercy pursuing us. In a recent essay entitled "Why Compassion is Divisive," lawyer and essayist David French writes, "The culture often claims it wants Christians to be like Christ, but does it really? The spirit of the age is better described by a famous quote by a Peruvian general and president named Oscar Benavides, 'For my friends, everything. For my enemies, the law.'" Christ responds with, "For my friends, mercy. For my enemies, mercy." We are, as that sharp little girl said, not really sheep. But today, God will feed us as we are his, as if we were, because we are his treasured creatures, his flock. God will set a table before us. Maybe today, when you come today, maybe when you come to the altar today, if you have any enemies, remember them. And then receive. Receive God's provision and love and care. It is as real as bread and wine put into your own hands. Trust that promise more than you trust your own feelings. For my friends, mercy. For my enemies, mercy. For us all, mercy. Amen.